and welcome to another episode of the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, on Smart Speaker, and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ailey Packham, and we are making somebody's mum very happy in association with Flowers Unlimited. Well then, the winning streak may be over, but at least we added another point to the total, and it was our first ever point at the Etihad. But it should probably have been all three after a host of missed chances to nick it at Westburn. That point, though, does see us go into the international break sitting in seventh, just 2 points behind fourth place Chelsea with 9 games to play. So is it too early to check that our passports are in date? Joining me today is, of course, Alan Wes, and we are delighted to welcome back Jason Thackeray. And alongside Jason is somebody well known to most in the Albion community as the landlord of the Caxton Arms and an all-round good egg. Please welcome back, it's Mr. Brett Mendoza! Hello, Brett.
What an intro.
I was going to say, is that how you always greet him, AD?
I normally just say hello, Brettles. Give me a beer. This is normally normally our greet.
I'll have to
pint,
give
please,
you a
landlord.
Welcome when you come to the pub.
Hang on, I'll stand in the corner and we have one of those mics that drop from the ceiling.
Yeah. No. So Brett, we've been doing this gig for what, nearly 18 years? And it's been ages since you've been on. So how the devil have you been in those intervening times? Lots of life changes, I'd imagine.
I think since the last time I've been on, I've got married, I've had twins, and I'm a busy boy at the pub as always, alongside all the other media stuff I do, as AZ pointed out.
And organising football matches.
Yeah, that's my latest project.
Brett, can you remember what studio we were in last time you came in? I think we were in the dungeon, weren't we?
Down in the open Yeah, we did. I think I did one in the open market as well for a Renfrew game, maybe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That figures.
More of which later on. But first, hello, Jason.
Hello, AD. Hello, Alan. Hi, Brett.
Hello, Jason.
Hello.
But, I mean, Jay, going to Man City and coming away with something is something we've never done before. We've had lots of attempts. Obviously, this iteration of Man City is slightly different to the one we're used to. But, I mean, still 4 times champions. And was it 2 points dropped or a point gained in your view?
Oh, that's the age-old North Stand chat question that everyone hates when Darren posts. Because in some respects, it's both, because we've never got a point there. So I would have taken a point before it kicked off. But given that we missed two absolute sitters in the second half, it's probably 2 points dropped in reality, which is a crazy thing to say. But probably true.
Well, it's interesting.
Fabian Hertzler certainly thought we should have won the game.
It's interesting in the week where the club's emailed out a spot the ball competition that we can have a competition of spot the miss by Yakuba Minter. Brett, the form we've been showing of late, is we shouldn't really be surprised about the performance and going to places like City and getting at least a point. And it's a step on from the inconsistency of earlier in the season, do you think?
Absolutely. I feel like, who knew that losing 7-0 would be a blessing in disguise and maybe the best thing that has happened to us this season? Like, I think Fabian burnt the tactics book on the training pitch that week, and then since then there just seems to be a togetherness, a will to do better, fight and passion amongst the team that maybe we didn't see before. And now everything's beginning to click, where all the players that we're signing are actually contributing well. Like, I still think, going on the 2 points dropped, the 2 points gained, it was 2 points dropped. I think the Minter miss was worse than the Believer one. Like, who goes to try and shoot with a two-footed tackle?
He probably thought he was still defending.
Could you compare that to a player from, let's say, the Withdean years?
I don't know who would be up there, but yeah, it's just something we should have won that. We should have won the game of that. Like, and going to places like Man City and dominating and getting a result was amazing.
Yeah, and it would have been, of course, that would have been 8 wins on the spin, which is unheard of for us, particularly at this level, Jase.
Yeah, certainly never been done before. I mean, I don't know what to say about that. Really, just the idea that we would win 8 games in a row, like Brett said, after losing 7-0, is just, it's something I can't really
Well, thing is
really
it,
wrap my balls
even
around,
and when
but
you
I just agree with Brad.
even
Playing
when you look at
Halifax
the
deserve it.
consistency
We've
that
been really too bad.
so yeah, but even if you look at the consistency or inconsistency that AD's talking about there, I mean, it depends on how you want to sort of to coat the figures, if you want to sugarcoat them or not. I've just quickly looked up what the latest stats are, and it's two defeats in 16 games, two defeats in the last 16 games, and obviously one was Everton, one was Forest, and that's it so far. I know that the inconsistency is draws where we could have won, and we certainly had that earlier in the season, and we all look back to Wolves and even Forest at home was, you know, we still considered it 2 points dropped. You know, Leicester, you know, hopefully we've learned our lesson, but the inconsistency is possibly a down to, like say, the whole thing of not picking up the wins where we could or should have done. And secondly, there has been also the obverse thing of picking up wins where, frankly, you know, a draw would have been a better result. And you could actually possibly include the City game at home, the United game at home, even the FA Cup game against Newcastle. You could argue these that, you know, for every game we've dropped points, we've also picked up points at where I want to say we didn't deserve to, but you know, when it's in the last minute, it's, you know, they're there to be had. So that's the inconsistency.
Well, we've seen that. Well, obviously, I mean, last minute winners are always best, always going to be the best thing. But last minute equalisers are also good, and that's been brought home even more so this week when you see that on all the match of the day and etc., where the Leicester run of results. When was the last time they scored a goal at home, Jason?
As lost, wasn't
Was it really?
it? Yeah. But I mean, but we were talking last week, and this is something that shows a different mentality to a certain degree to one we've seen a little bit. But the points we've gained from losing positions is that's increased by the score of one from last week. So we're now on 14. I think that is we're third most points from losing positions this season in the league.
Well, that's all well and good, but wouldn't it be nice to actually gain points from winning positions as well? I mean, it's
Well,
great that we
we've
can.
done that as well, but I'm talking
Yeah, I know
about
what
the
you mean.
resilience
Coming
of
back
action.
from Lutz, you know, yeah, conceding the first goal, I get that bit, and the fact that their heads don't drop. And it's I think it's kind of indicative of the fact that in a lot of cases, our second half performance, not always, but a lot of cases, our second half performance is a lot better than the first half. In other words, we're slow starters to a lot of games. And again, there is the inconsistency of, yes, we do score early as well. No, I mean, these are kind of statistical
And we score
anomalies
too
more
early.
than anything. But yeah, it's not something I can ever worry about. I just do appreciate the whole thing of. Yeah, as Brett said, there is that togetherness, there is that fight, you know, there is that kind of call to arms that we saw from Jan-Paul van Hekker in the change room after we beat Chelsea on the run that we're on. You know that they're there, and I would never, even if we're playing badly, we lose points stupidly or whatever. One thing I would not criticize ever with a club is the work rate they put in. Even if Hertzler is complaining about there's a lack of intensity and they need to work a bit harder. You can see they're not cheating the fans. You can see that there are just some days where, frankly, we're not good enough, and it happens. So apart from that, there's not is you know I never worried after that 7-0 defeat because, well, apart from okay, is it the start of malaise? Highly unlikely because we haven't lost 7-0 since, yeah, I think what was the previous one, that game in the 1960s. So that's 60 odd years. These things don't happen time and time again. And as Brett said, arguably the best thing, the biggest kick up the backside the club, the team needed.
Yeah, I mean, Jason, in regards to that, I mean, obviously, it does show an awful lot of character to like come back from that 7-0. But I mean, the way things are going at the moment and being on this run, it shows the togetherness in the squad, and it's showing that there is that resilience there. Because I mean, we're seeing it particularly with some other arguably bigger sides where they're complaining about the injury list they've had. We've had a bigger injury list than all of these guys. Talking about you, Spurs, you're talking about like Chelsea, who can't seem to their fans. They're sitting in fourth, and their fans are talking like they're getting relegated. And you know, the
We can
players
only
they're not
hope.
fit, getting on the pitch. The injuries aren't. You know, when you're on this run, the injuries magically go away because everyone wants to be on the pitch.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think I slightly take issue with something that Al just said in that with the Forest game followed on from losing against Everton, but losing against Everton without really having a proper shot on target either. So I think a lot of people's headspace was kind of, is this the start of the collapse? Is this the Sammy Hupia moment? And we've proven those critics completely wrong. And it is to do with that togetherness that you guys are talking about when you see these sort of insider videos that the club's so good at producing these days. Hertzl is always talking about pushing it on more and more. He's never satisfied. And yeah, we did. We took we literally took a match to the plans. And since then, we've just looked one of the best sides in the entire Premier League.
I really wish someone
But
had filmed that.
I mean, the question is now, I mean, it's a question that you would have asked at the beginning of the season, and it's a movable banquet now. But what does success look like this season in August, and what does success look like this season now?
So I think success in August was probably top 10 because it was a new manager, loads of new players. But now looking at the table and the run that we're on, and like Bournemouth at home, for example, we were talking about resilience where we were probably in the second half, we were second best. Bournemouth had loads of chances. We had one chance and scored the winner. And that doesn't normally happen to us. So now on this run, I think we're looking at the conference. We're looking at Europe, not the Conference League, but the Europa League. I think Champions League's a bit out of the reach.
Two,
But
only 2 points off it, Brett.
yeah, I know that, but everyone's at the top's playing well. Like Forest now, I think I've read that they haven't got a single senior player injured now. So they're like Chelsea should be good. And then, yeah, it's top five as well, isn't it? So
Yeah.
it isn't far off, but I think success would definitely, like Europe have some description, but I think Europa League's what we're going to aim for. If we get Champions League, even better.
Right,
You've forgotten the FA Cup there, Brett.
Yeah, that's to me. For me, I want us to win the FA Cup more than getting into Europe, wherever we finish in the league table. Like just to see us win a trophy, like seeing Newcastle, like and all their fans, like the Dan Burn story, everything. That was just such a good watch, even though there's the background of the whole Saudi, yeah, the investment funds and all that. But just that
The blood
story,
money.
we won't go into that too much. But yeah, just seeing the inspiration of like that whole club and the whole city just getting together just for one match and winning it. I'd love that to be us, and like I think we can get to Europe more times than we've got a chance of winning the FA Cup.
I mean, Jason, I mean, we're going to ask you the same question again in a second, but I mean, obviously, going on from this, the Man City game, Man City are still, there's the scene as the biggest club left in the FA Cup, which, I mean, we've played them in the FA Cup before. We've obviously the FA Cup semi-final against them a few years ago, but the ballpark's shifted. We shouldn't be scared of them anymore.
This season's Man City are not the Man City that have been around the previous seasons before it, and it's for two reasons. One of them is Rodri, and the other one's De Bruyne. They said they just shows how much they relied on those players, and then around them they're kind of the squad's in transition as well. I don't think the defence is great at all. I don't think Haaland's getting the service. He's getting marked out. Okay, he's still scored a lot of goals this season, but he's probably not going to score 60. And they're not going to go on one of those runs where they never lose between January and May. They're fundamentally vulnerable in midfield and at the back City, and that makes them beatable in 90 minutes of football in the cup.
Do you think that the elephant in the room of what's standing up going on behind the scenes at City as well? I mean, there was talk that the announcement of what's going to happen could have come out before the game, and we didn't want that. But it's got to be affecting them somewhere along the line, right?
It has. I don't know
You
how much. I
reckon?
don't know much.
Yeah, you can't ignore it. You can't ignore the noise that's going on around the club. I mean, basically, You to have a drop off, you expect to see someone like they've got Haaland who needs service, right? Okay, and De Bruyne, he's been injured and not been firing all cylinders. I get that. Rodri just won the Ballon d'Or. I get that. But they've got an awful big squad of high quality players, and the drop off from being four times in a row Premier League winners to where they are now, there's something else going on there. Maybe it's just because maybe Pep just run out of ideas and run out of steam and
Maybe just
enigma.
all those players getting a little bit older as well. Who knows? But I
Yeah,
mean,
but to have this sharper drop off is
what,
quite dramatic.
first to fourth, I get your point, but I think that if you're talking about all those that are left in the FA Cup, I would probably even include Preston North End in this. There has never been a time where all eight clubs would fancy their chances of winning the trophy quite as much as this year, because, like I say, we've got one quote big six club left and are highly fallible. It's a club we really shouldn't fear if we got to play them. If anything, I'd
Be the other
fear
way
one of the
around.
other clubs, on account of the fact that it's not as though we drop off when we play against sort of quote the other 14. It's just they're going to fancy their chances. I mean, some of these games could be absolutely manic. Supposing we get past Forest, and it is a big if still, but supposing we get past Forest, I really don't fancy, I don't suppose any of the clubs currently left in there fancy playing any of the other clubs. You don't think, okay, I really fancy Preston, but that's about it. None of the other clubs will say, I really fancy them or I really fancy them, on account of the
Yeah.
fact that there is so much of this, there is so much almost egalitarian, or equality about it, that no one could call it. And I do, yes, City are the favourites, mostly due to history. But if other those quote other 14 clubs play like we do against them, or play how they can, then Man City are far from a shoo-in to win the trophy.
But yeah.
I'd take that point, Alan, and almost extend it to where, how far we've come as a club, particularly in the last few seasons. There is not a single other club left in that tournament that is saying, I really want to play Brighton. And a few years ago before that, they probably would have.
Well,
Yeah,
absolutely. But but
then also,
I did
can
a
I
Man
just say,
City show.
I would have said a couple of years ago, I really fancy playing Nottingham Forest, and now I really don't. Do you see what I mean?
But I mean, I did a Man City show, a preview show last week, and I got asked the question, which they said, qualify for Europe or win the FA Cup. I said, well, if you win the FA Cup, you qualify for Europe. So that,
Well,
please. It's
yeah.
like,
It's,
my
yeah,
bad.
it's all a little bit strange, but yeah. City are no longer the Leviathan. Well, certainly not this season, and that's why, all those eight clubs left in it, and including City, yeah. But this is the one chance, because it's not Chelsea left in it, it's not Arsenal left in it, there's no Liverpool left in it. It is just Man City, and I say a faltering Man City at that. They're all of them. I mean, Forest will fancy the FA Cup equally as much as we will. So will Villa. So will, everyone who's left in it. Everyone has that equal chance. And probably to the outsider, it's actually very exciting, unless there are those that insist that the FA Cup final is Liverpool against Man United every season, in which case they can go and blow one.
Yeah, we're looking at you, Robbie Savage.
Is that what you said?
Yep. And it did not go down very well in most quarters. Yes, but
I
yeah.
can imagine.
Anyway, let's have a look at this guy. I've got a rarity on here. I've got some praise for the AFC Hoops in here coming. Hold on to your hats for that one. But I mean, we did have the ball in the back of the net early doors. I can see why it was disallowed, but I'm kind of thinking, should it have been?
The foul.
Of course it was.
Well,
He did have control of it. He did knock him over as
but
well
I
when the
don't
ball was coming
think
through. Sorry, say Brett.
I don't think he did have control of it. He kind of
I
pushed
didn't
it
think he
onto
had control of it. I think
pushed
it
onto
was basically,
Vertonghen's head.
it was all over the place. I mean, it was all over the
Yeah,
place
I
most of
think.
the afternoon, to be honest. But it was
Yeah.
like, I don't think it, I don't think you give that as a foul, really. If
It, I am
I don't think he
no.
gives that if the ball doesn't go in, I don't think he's given it as a foul.
No, I think it is, and I think the elephant in the room is he should bury the first chance, then we wouldn't be talking about the
Yeah.
foul.
Yeah, and
Well
it's not the first
said.
time he's done that.
Okay. Well, we did fall behind in the game, and it was a penalty conceded by Adam Webster, who's been brilliant. Actually, he was brilliant again, largely on Saturday. But it was a penalty. I don't think
Did he
anyone can
catch
argue
him?
with that.
Every single replay I've seen,
Yeah,
none of
he
them seem
caught
to
him.
catch him.
I've just watched it again just now. Yeah, I
Yeah.
can't argue with
Webster
you.
himself doesn't complain.
I don't think
Yeah.
you can complain about that. And Haaland scored his
Yeah.
obligatory goal against us. That's all he did in the game. But then Jorginho, he drove at the Manchester City defence. He was tripped up just outside the box and up stepped Pervis
Hang on,
Estupiñan.
AD. Hang on, AD. AD. Hey, hang on. If we're being totally honest here, tripped up is pushing it. He went to ground, being sort of slightly brushed. He bought that one. Am I going to
He's
be
learning from
alone in?
jail.
Am I alone in Albion fancying that? Let's face it. I mean, he wasn't clattered, I think, but.
My blue and white striped spectacles are seeing this in a very different way, Alan.
Yeah, well, I haven't got those on. I've got Hooper bins.
There we go. Well, I mean, let's upstepped young Peter Purvis in, I can't even say it, Purvis Estupinian. And I'm still not quite entirely sure what happened. I mean, obviously, it was a great free kick. It went in, but I'm not quite sure how. And I don't think Ortega did either.
It made it look weird because the goalie didn't dive.
Yeah.
And then, but the noise it made off the post was amazing.
It was quite a dunk, wasn't it? Like say, you expect something like that. I mean, there is this thing of, oh, he moved a foot to his left, basically wrong foot in him. But it's not that. It's not as though Purvis smashed it. I mean, he is. There's only one shot where you can see on it, and the curl on it is actually very impressive. But yeah, it's just the way that the keeper then sort of watched it hit the post and then just sort of casually watched it go behind him as if it was a dog running away from him. So it was a little bit weird in as much as, yeah, great free kick. Would he have got it if he'd have dived for it? Who knows? He didn't, so tough titty. And yeah, it was a goal.
Would Purvis have had it if Dunk had been on the pitch, though? That's the question.
That definitely would be rose-ending it, wouldn't it? But that was Purvis's fifth goal in Albion colours, which basically means he's now scored more for the Albion than he has for his native Ecuador, which is good. I mean, he does take free kicks for Ecuador, actually. So
Okay.
it's
Well, that
and he's
makes sense then.
yeah, and I was expecting Gomez to take it. In fact, I actually probably wanted Gomez to take it, actually. So high is my esteem for Diego at the moment.
Yeah, well, he didn't, but Superbis scored, and so there's no point in bleating about it, really. So,
Absolutely.
and
And
it's
then
hang on. All I'd say is it just does underline because I think it's what now off, and it's something ridiculous. I think it might have been a stat that you posted once upon a time, Brett. It's only about our fifth or sixth goal from directly from a free kick
yeah.
since we returned to the Premier League.
Yeah, we
When
don't
was the
do
last one? When was the last one?
Welbeck done
Danny
one not long
Welbeck.
ago.
Oh,
Yeah.
yes.
Yeah. McAllister's normally the one. Gross has got one.
Yeah.
Done that weird one at Liverpool where he passed it under the wall.
And hasn't stopped taking them since, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean,
Yeah.
we did fall behind again, and I'm just gonna hold my hands up and say it was a great goal. I don't think there's an awful lot we could have done about it. It was just
Actually,
a
there was an
shot
awful.
taken early.
No, there was an awful lot we could have done about it. I think that Ruta was
Yeah.
guilty of overplaying it. I think he was trying to showboat, and you don't do it in the last third, even if it's a faltering Manchester City. And also, I'd say I think that Webster could have done better. Whether it would have been enough, I don't know, but I would have liked to have seen him actually get a foot or two closer to the goal scorer than that. So, could we have done anything about it? Maybe. Well, maybe Webster's action may or may not have done for that, but with Rutter, when you're in your defensive third, if you can, you just keep it simple. You don't be showboating there.
It was Pedro, but yeah. It
It was
was
a
definitely
Rutter.
Rutter. It was Rutter.
Tremendous hit, though, wasn't it? If the goal hadn't been there and the stadium hadn't been there, it'd still be going now. It was an incredible effort.
It was a beautiful effort, and then we had an opportunity to level it just before half time when Pedro dragged a shot just wide when you'd expect him to at least hit the target from there.
Yeah, he done well to win it back, and then again, like he's not too far out, and you want him as your main striker to at least hit the target. You're right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is the bit where credit's due. We've obviously given AFC Hoops a lot of stick over the years on this show, and long may that continue, I would imagine. But I've got to say, it was an absolutely brilliant advantage that he actually played when for the Minto miss.
I think Brett, could you have another go at describing that Minte miss goal? Because it was.
Yeah, I said, like, well, we'll go with the move. That was unbelievable. Like, winning the ball back, the ref played the advantage, it goes wide. And then, for some reason, when the cross come in, Minter tried instead of shoot, trying to 2 foot tackle the ball in the goal. And I don't know how, I don't even know how we didn't touch it at all. It was
It
impressive.
went between his legs.
Yeah.
It's just.
But yeah, that was a, yeah, absolute terrible miss. Well, that's a worse than believers one, but yeah, you've got to be
I don't
scoring that.
know. Okay, then we had plenty of other chances. I mean, Mitoma fired a shot that was saved by Ortega. Then City hit the post. We go up the other end, and Hinch saw the headlines rather than the unmarked Welbeck.
Did you see Welbeck's reaction?
Yeah, he was delighted.
I thought he was going to chew Hinshelwood's leg off. It's a good job there was a net
Yeah,
in between
he
him and
was
Hinshelwood.
angry.
He was furious.
Yeah,
It was.
Hinshelwood apologised in the post-match interviews, didn't he? I think, well, that made him do
Yeah.
that.
But I mean, again, one of the other
Yeah.
things that we've been critical over the last few years really is the fact that our set piece delivery and corners have been absolutely miserable, and we very rarely score from them. But for that's two corners we scored for in recent weeks, and long may that continue. And actually, we're scoring from free kicks as well.
Yeah, the new set piece coach is finally earning his money. Did wonder about it in the first half. I guess it takes time to bed in, doesn't it? Like all of these things. So now Hertzler's way of playing is starting to get into the players, and the new players are starting to gel into the squad. The set piece coaches' routines are being adopted, and hopefully, we're not going to show the attacking set piece routines on the wall in a club video again because we did that a couple of weeks ago.
Well, the
Yeah,
other
but they weren't the real ones.
yeah, but the funny
Maybe
thing
that's
about
part of it.
the funny thing about that one is, well, you know, for the one for the goal is it's something that's completely new, and yet I'm amazed that more clubs don't do it because the vast majority of corners, they what they're trying to do is just basically go for the big guy. Sometimes they'll do it by throwing it right to the back stick and the big guy nods it back across, or there'll be someone at the near post hoping to nod it on. And yeah, near, by the way, near post corners that are cleared by the first defender require a complete fine of that player's, the corner taker's wages for the
2 weeks.
Yeah, it's just
That's
wow.
infuriating.
It is so infuriating. I mean, you've got everyone's just worse than a short corner where the ball doesn't come in. But in this instance, you know, Webster had peeled back to probably not far to far off the 18-yard line before nodding it back into the mix. And let's face it, it was just merely a head back into the mix, which luckily fell at the feet of Hinshelwood, who took a swinger. And I think that had it not been for the Man City defender, might have gone out somewhere near the corner.
I think it would have been on target, but I mean the
No,
keeper would
no.
probably
I'm
have
saying
saved it. But
it was so wide. It was
I agree.
so.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I
No,
wasn't
that's why
watching it
it's an
again
own
earlier,
goal.
but.
I mean, it was going to go very, very wide. But the point is, it eventually went in. But it was good and refreshing to see a different corner where it's actually one of those where you think, well, actually, we made that look so easy. Why don't we do more of it? And of course, we didn't do it again because Man City then worked it out. But yeah, I as much as it's a corner routine that worked for us, I'd also say the City defending was pretty lousy.
Yeah, I mean, did anyone really feel sorry for Kucherov at all? And I mean, he looked really sad. I mean, really sad.
Wasn't
I
he
think
the
he's just
kiddie
got one of
that?
those faces where he always looks sad anyway. But I
Yeah.
mean, he was just devastated.
I think he was the kiddie that when well, I remember a game at the Amex earlier in the season, and after it was, I think it was Man City against Chelsea, and I got a feeling he was making his debut.
It was, yeah.
And I think he gave the ball away in the first 2 minutes, got booked another 2 minutes later, and every time he got the ball, you could hear the tension in the City fans. I mean, and to do that when you're playing Chelsea is about as embarrassing as you can get.
But one thing that, again, we've been critical to a certain degree, Al, is the fact that everything can be a little bit slow and telegraphed at times. But the speed of play over the last month or so has just seriously increased. And that chance where Pedro set up Carlos Baleba, and Baleba really, really should at least be hitting the target on there. I mean, that had match winner written all over it. And I think if that falls to De Bruyne, it's in the back of the net, right?
You know full well that Brighton players don't actually bury chances like that. It just doesn't happen. We've got sort of like a litany, a portfolio of players down the years who are going to do that. I mean, don't get me wrong, the build-up was superb. There was an element of luck with the pass across from Pedro to go through the defender's legs. So, but yeah, and don't get me wrong, Baleba, he shot up the pitch like a train, and the two City players didn't follow him. But as soon as he got there, I mean, it's easy in hindsight. Could he have taken a touch? Well, yes, he could. Should he have, like I say, in hindsight, which is always so wonderful and so easy to use. Yes, he could have done, but would that first touch have taken him somewhere near the corner flag? Who knows? He was probably right in taking it first time. It hit that bobble, but yeah, you're right. It's a fella who, as his career progresses, if he gets chances like that again, he will actually exercise them into the back of the net rather than sticking them in row Z. It was infuriating in as much as it was the golden opportunity we've had. Best chance we've ever had of beating Man City at their place. And here's a rhetorical question, because I don't know the answer, and I don't know if it's worth anyone doing the maths to find out. Who was the last club to do the double over City and United in the same season? Because whoever it was, I don't know, but we came bloody close.
Chelsea or Liverpool, probably.
I bet it was Palace.
It probably was, yeah. It would have been.
Brentford, maybe? I don't know. Brentford seems to always do well at the Etihad.
But the double over City and United, that is...
The Manchester double-double, yeah. That would have been,
you know, it's like that time when North London was ours, then Manchester would have been ours.
Okay, but I mean, like I said, I think we can say it was 2 points dropped then. Is that what we're saying?
No, because don't forget, City did hit the post with a goal ahead of they should have scored.
Yeah, and they did have a chance right at the end. So anyway, but you know, it's a point, our first ever point at the Etihad. And like I said, going into international break, 2 points off fourth place is good. And heading for the FA Cup quarterfinals. Okay, you are listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. The show is brought to you in association with the fabulous Flowers Unlimited, Alan. And where can you find Flowers Unlimited?
Over there.
Over there.
Over there. And do they smell like very nice? It's 175 to 177 Portland Road. Dave Costa, the owner of Flowers Unlimited, good enough to sponsor this show. Thank you very much indeed. And obviously with Mothering Sunday coming up, he also offers two prizes. We need two prizes. So last week we asked the question, the floral clock is based in a particular square in Hove. Could you tell us the name of that square, Brett?
Palmyra Square.
Correct. What a shame you didn't enter.
And actually, we've had a record number of entries for this. So thank you to everyone who took the time to get in touch. And
AD, we have two winners. So who is the first one? Let's have the winner of the main prize.
Okay, so I have all the names in the hat here. Here's the hat.
Shake, shake, shake.
Shake, shake, shake. And I am pulling out a name. And the first winner is Blimey.
Well, no, you can't say that because that's not their name.
It's Steve Agass.
Steve, bless him. He enters all of our competitions.
Every competition we've ever done, he's entered.
Bless him. Well done, Steve.
He's finally won. Well done, Steve. And
our second prize, please. Can we have a second winner, AD?
The second winner is... Congratulations to Sarah Hollingdale.
Sarah. Okay, so Steve and Sarah will be in touch with you. Congratulations. Thank you very much indeed for entering. Do head to Flowers Unlimited for all your floral and celebratory needs. 175 to 177 Portland Road, Hove. And don't forget, mention you're an Albion season ticket holder and you automatically get 20% off. Thank you very much indeed. Also to everyone who entered. Thanks very much.
Thank you indeed. Now, as you well know, for everyone who listens to the show, we are on a radio station, a Brighton legendary radio station. We were coming up to their 18th birthday. And coming up, we have the annual Reverbathon. Now, Radio Reverb does not just run on fresh air and enthusiasm, does it?
Doesn't it?
Oh, okay. No.
Oh, okay. No, we are ad free, and in order to retain our ad freeness, we only take money by way of donations, grants, and sponsorship. To that end, on the weekend of the 12th and 13th of April, Reverb hosts a Reverbathon, a weekend of, well, a change to the regular schedule with live presenters. Doing their stuff, I suppose, on air on Saturday from the open market, the Reverb Studio in the open market, and on Sunday from the Hope and Ruin in Queens Road. You're all welcome to pop along and see how radio is done really, really well in comparison to, say, Radio One or, you know, all those really good professional stations where they've got sort of millions of pounds behind them. And if you can, do head over to radioreverb.com, hit the donate button, and throw in a few shekels if you can. We do have a special guest that day. We're not going to tell you who it is just yet, but do keep your ears peeled for that, because we think you're going to like it. Just quickly, though, you mentioned about Radio Reverb. It's actually the 26th of March 2007. It's when Ofcom granted the license for Radio Reverb to start broadcasting full time, and that's exactly what we did from the studios in those days in North Street.
Just above the G studios, wasn't it?
It was above the Juice/Surf studios. So here we are, 18 years old, which actually means that seeing as the Albion Roar was also a founder member of Radio Reverb, then on the 30th of March, the Albion Roar turns 18. It's something we're very, very proud of since Johnny and Richie first took to the airwaves all the way back then in March 2007. We AD and I were sort of semi-regular guests for the next 2 years or so.
We just didn't go away.
We just didn't bugger off. They didn't lose our phone number. Eventually, we took over the show when Johnny and Richie decided to step down from it in February 2010. AD, do you remember our first guest that week?
Roy Shooter.
The late, great Roy Shooter. It was indeed. But yes, the Albion Roar turns 18 on the 30th of March. It's like I say, it's an achievement we're very, very proud of. And thank you to everyone who has taken the time to listen in, take part, offer their opinions and their praise and their grief and all parts in between. So thank you very much indeed. But the way I say this, it makes it sound as though, you know, that's it. No, sorry, we're going on. Hey, let's put it this way. The day we stop is the day we get relegated, on account of the fact that since we started, we've never been relegated. And AD, with Leicester. Yes.
Oh, yes, with Leicester failing to bother the scorers once again, we are mathematically safe. We are safe. We are definitely in the Premier League next season.
Brilliant.
Okay, now, Brett, during the 18 years this show's been going, you've been a regular when you're plugging a football match, be it from Renth all the way through to the latest one, which is for the Rocking Horse charity, which I know is something that's very, very close to your heart. So why don't you tell us about your Rocking Horse story and how this game came about?
Okay, yeah. So for those that don't know me, I had twins. They're 15 months old now. They were due in December around Christmas time, but were actually born in October. So they spent the first 8 weeks of their lives in the Trevor Mann baby unit, being looked after 24/7, like basically living a life in an incubator, being helped, fed, breathing. And then in the year since they've come out, there's been a couple of complications and they've been back into hospital numerous times. So the Rocking Horse Charity, they raise money for the Royal Alexander Children's Hospital and the Trevor Mann Baby Unit. So there's my way of saying thank you to them. So I was at the Albion Foundation pub quiz and I was chatting to Guy Butters, and then he just said, "Oh, do you want a game against like an Albion Legends team against the Renf team?" And because Renf had stopped, we came up with the idea of just playing like a rocking horse team. And then I'm in a fortunate enough position where Joe Wilkinson, the comedian's one of my really good mates. So I asked him if he had any celebrity mates that want to play football, and this game was born. So on the 22nd of March, the Saturday at 2 o'clock at Worthing United's ground, no, Worthing's ground, sorry, at Woodside Road. Don't get that wrong.
That would
Is
be
it Worthing Town? No, it's not.
No,
We are playing Brighton and Hove Albion Legends against the Rocking Horse All Stars. So the Brighton and Hove Albion Legends team's captained by Guy Butters and includes Gary Hart, Baz Savage, Tommy Fraser, Dean Cox, the couple from the past like Kevin Bremner, Warren Aspinall's playing, Mark Ormerod, who's like one of my favourite ever keepers growing up. Who else is in there? Malcolm Stewart's making an appearance on the physio's bench as well.
Brilliant.
So yeah, and then like the Rocking Horse team, there's like obviously myself, Joe Wilkinson, then he's got his mates, John Richardson, Maisie Adams to play, Joe Marler, the rugby player's playing,
Okay.
Matthew Bainton and Carl Smith-Bynoe, they created Ghosts
Right.
on BBC. Stephen Edwards, the chef at the Amex, at the Etch and the Tunnel Club. Who else have we got?
Then you've got the real all star. So for I mean, obviously we've been covering Rent for most of its existence. So I mean, when I saw the list, it's like a who's who of everyone that's played in the Rent games.
Tell us about the
I mean,
tell us about
and basically there is a bit of a bet going on about how long it's going to take Ali Jenkins to get a red card.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Tell us about the
Yeah, and
rocking
then
horse. So tell us about the rocking horse gaffer.
yeah, so that was just announced this week. The Rocking Horse Gaffer is none other than, it's unbelievable, it's Jeff Stelling.
Brilliant.
So that's come about because his son Matt's a regular at my pub. So I roped him to play. And then he asked his dad, and so he's coming down. He's gonna be our gaffer, which is just so
So
surreal.
when you first had these conversations, I assume it was the idea was, between getting Joe Wilkinson. Did you have to twist his arm? Did they have a Showbiz 11 kind of knocking a Comedy 11 knocking around, or is it a scratch team he's got together? How did you have to sell it to him?
I didn't have to do, we actually had planned a 24-hour six-a-side game with some celebrities, but it kind of fell through with like just the venues and stuff. And then there is actually a WhatsApp group of comedians that do play football, so he's tapped into that, and the ones that were available have all come forward. So yeah. But
Fantastic.
yeah.
So give us the details and what's the funds will go towards.
So it's £12 for over 18s basically to get in, and £5 for under 18s. It's free for kids. So far, we've sold, I think we're looking at a crowd of about 800 to 1,000.
Wow,
Yeah,
really?
so yeah,
Yeah.
we've sold just over 600 tickets already.
Oh,
So
fantastic. Yeah,
it's
brilliant.
looking like it should be really good. Just hoping the weather forecast's not looking too great at the moment. So we're hoping for the best, but yeah, we know loads of people are going to pay on the door, which you can, card or cash.
Yeah.
Yeah, then the money goes to the Rocking Horse charity, and then depending on what, how much we raise, which I'm hoping to raise about £10,000. So yeah, that's including me doing a couple of other things with some friends as well. So I did the Brighton Half Marathon with Joe, and then
Yeah, I
his
saw him drag you
son.
over the line.
And then I'm doing a skydive with two of my best mates, Victoria and Shelley. That's the day of the Wolves away, so I'm not going to that because I'm going to be jumping out of a plane. But yeah,
Well,
just
couldn't
doing
you
loads
jump over the plane over Molyneux with the
of
match ball?
and then watch the game. I didn't
Yeah.
put, I don't have to ask for that. But yeah, so I'm doing a few things, and then hopefully, like, I don't really know what the money's going to specifically yet, but it's all been ring-fenced. And they like provide toys, equipment, like pay for staff to work in the hospital, things like that. So,
Like, so
yeah.
you went into the hospital with the kids, and obviously they've been looking after them. But tell us about the staff at the Rocking Horse. How have you found them when you've well, really not wanted to have to go in there, but you found you've
Yeah.
had to go there.
Yeah, like the staff, I can't compliment them enough or highly enough. Just like the calmness they have in like tough situations, Like I saw some horrible things happen, not to my kids, but to others. And like the way that they deal with it and the happiness that they bring in situations which are tough for parents. Like for me, it was hard because sometimes you're only allowed one parent in at a time, and you're literally sitting in a chair next to an incubator. You couldn't touch the kids for the first like week or two. You couldn't even hold them. So, and then they're just so reassuring, telling you what they're doing, like what medication they're taking, what it does, and then just like even just like a shoulder to cry on. They're just there, like they're. I can't say thank you enough. Yeah, so this is just a way of me saying thank you to all of them. Well, I've invited a few of them,
I was going to
so
say,
hopefully,
are they all coming? I mean, are any of the staff actually playing at all?
Unfortunately, not. But it was there isn't really any that can play football, but there's lots of people from the hospital coming and the rocking horse as well. So that's a big chance for me to say thank you back. Oh,
Sure.
yeah, they've
So,
got.
I thought you'd actually retired, Brett. I thought you weren't playing anymore. So, you gonna are we gonna see you back out on the pitch, or are you gonna? Because I mean, normally when we see you, like the last few times we've seen you at the Renf games, you've been looking very, very smart in your suit. But Stelling's nicked your job.
So yeah, I've got a 15-minute cameo at the start of the game planned, and that's about it.
Right.
The ceremonial kickoff, and then maybe get a shot to try and
Yeah.
keep it in the stadium, and that's
I am so surprised you
it.
didn't try and get hold of Ricky Marlowe, though. I mean, that would have.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I can
he's
just.
one hard man to get hold of.
Is he? Is he?
Just promise him a breakfast and he'll be there.
Yeah, and point him to the bookies. So okay, so just give us the lowdown on the deets again for the, well, it's actually this coming Saturday. So give us the details of that game once again, Brett.
So yeah, it's the Brighton and Hove Albion Legends against the Rocking Horse All Stars Saturday at Woodside Road, Worthing. 2 o'clock kickoff. £12 to get in for adults. You can pay on the door. That's it. Yeah. The bar will be
Brilliant.
open, the food kiosks will be open, there'll be loads of music playing, Richie Reynolds on the PA. It's all gonna be
Fantastic.
good.
Well, be there or be square. No, and what's more, it's on non-league day as well. So, the Albion aren't at home. So, yeah, if you're in the vicinity, do pop down to Worthing and, well, I'd say, make your donation towards. I assume that there'll be options to make additional donations while you're there as well. Yeah.
The Rocking
And a
Horse staff.
raffle.
And a raffle with amazing prizes. The Rocking Horse staff have got card machines, buckets of cash, and that just yeah, there's plenty of opportunity to donate to amazing charity.
Seriously, good luck for the day, mate. I hope it goes well. But like I say, I'm blown away by the number of tickets you already sold. That is, well, it dwarfs Renf, let's put it that way.
I'm so happy.
No, be proud, mate. Be proud.
Yeah.
How are the kids now? How are they getting on?
At the moment, that's the best they've ever been. So they've not actually been in hospital since November. So, which sounds, was it like 4 months? No, 5 months,
Yeah.
which sounds weird, but for us, that's been amazing. Like, where it's been like every month for like 4 or 5 days at a time, life
Sure.
gets put on hold. And but
Yeah.
now, yeah, their treatment's going well, and hopefully, they've got through the worst of like the winter season, and hopefully, touch wood. I won't go back soon.
Let's hope they don't. That would be
Well,
absolutely amazing.
all our love for their improved health then, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I'm sure you've got a couple of the old "I want to moonwalk like Baz" t-shirts kicking around now.
I do actually. I do.
Wow.
The thing is, most of the, well, I think I probably got one left because I had them printed in white, and I had one printed for him in black, and never got a chance to. By the time I got, well, I was going to give it to him. He buggered off to wherever it was he went. So yeah,
He's
I
playing on
think
Saturday. Give it
I.
to him
Do you know
then.
what? Do you know what? I think I will. If
Oh,
I
do
can
it.
find it, I'm going to present it to him.
Yeah,
My
charge
friend
him,
said
tell him
he's
he could
wearing
cost
hers.
50 quid to the rocking horse. That would do.
Actually, that's a point. Actually, I could do that, and I don't know if it's okay with you, Brett. I mean, do you think I can get a couple of quid if we sign it and auction it
Why not?
or raffle it?
Yeah, raffle's good.
I've
Okay.
got a kid size one somewhere,
Yeah.
but it's like,
Yeah.
I think it might fit you, Jay. Okay, well, moving on. It's the international break, and we have 23 players away on international duty currently. Some of which of those are on loan, some of those with the age group side. Obviously, most of them going off to play for Holland, it would appear.
Nearly all of them.
Carew heading off to the Middle East to play against Bahrain and Saudi, I think is the other team. But Carew just won the goal of the month competition. Was it your winner, Jace?
Course it was. Of course
Not
it
really
was.
much competition was there.
I spent almost an entire episode of the Albion Raw salivating over that first touch. How could it not be?
Well,
I still think.
Go on.
I don't think there's a player in the Premier League that's got a better first touch than Matoma.
There isn't. No, you're absolutely right.
Especially with a pass like that. If you're talking about a 70-yard zinger that goes over your shoulder, I mean, as much as they were talking about Messi-like or Bergkamp-like, I think that the phrase is actually Matoma-like because he's taken on that mantle now. If anyone controls it like that, it's not Bergkamp-like, it's Matoma-like.
Yeah. Well, there is talk that there are conversations going on with him getting a new contract, which will tie him hopefully to the club till 2030 is the dates I'm hearing. So hopefully that will get signed very, very soon.
But Jason, let's just I didn't realise that stat that Adie said there just there. 23 players gone off on international duty, and we're talking full internationals here. That's mad, isn't it?
Absolutely insane. Yeah.
It's even more mad when you consider it. I mean, we're all old enough to remember this. We're all old enough to remember this. Do you remember that there was the international board in the reception at the Goldstone Ground? I don't think you could get 23 players on that.
We used to sing about Gary Chivers, we've got a Maltese international.
No, and now it's 23, and including just sort of, oh, by the way, let's because Vifa was added to the list.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I missed that.
No, we're just talking about the fact that it's 23 internationals. Yeah. Like I say, Weaver's been added to it. I mean, it's more than two.
That's
teams.
23, including Weaver. So.
Is it? Okay, fine.
Yeah, but also so... that. But I mean, to be honest, I mean, it also does include Evan Ferguson and Andy Moran. So it's
and Fito as well, I think.
And who?
And Nunziza. Yeah, Fito, it does. Yeah,
Nunziza. Yeah. Well, yeah, there are. I mean, you could say, what about the under 21s or any juniors? Did you include them as well?
They're all on there, yeah. Harry Howells with an age group, England side as well. So, yeah.
James Beadle, who's on loan at Sheffield Wednesday.
We've got a few, yeah. I mean, it's exciting times.
I mean, do you think we can now finally, Jace, call ourselves an established Premier League side?
Yeah, absolutely. We are an established Premier League side. Yeah, I don't
and
think
a good one too.
And a good one too.
There's a wider discussion, right? You look at the bottom of the table this season, and they're so far adrift, and it's all three of the teams that came up. And I think
again,
much much harder to establish yourself as an established Premier League club. Mm-hmm. I think we are certainly that. And I think Tony Bloom probably wants to cover his ears right now, but I think Brentford are as well. I think you'll have a number of seasons now where the sides that come up really struggle to stay in the league, and that makes everybody else established Premier League clubs. What we could be in the next couple of seasons is an established top 10 Premier League club, which would be insane.
Yeah. Are we there yet?
It is an interesting point, and you're right, it is a wider discussion. It's something that, like, our good friend Kieran Maguire mentions about, that he calls it the cliff edge between the Premier League and the Championship is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And there's no amount of parachute payments that are going to cover that gap. And, like, I mean, the last side to actually come up and not go down are currently challenging for a Champions League place. And they did that, and that they kind of flouted the rules a little bit in order to do that. I mean, obviously they got their points deduction and stayed up. But I mean, credit.
I think that the difference that we're looking at here is that I think that Brentford and Brighton have certainly made their business case a more, not totally, but a more sustainable one. The question would be next season for Nottingham Forest is how sustainable are they? And you can answer that question by seeing how well they do on the pitch. Because if nothing else, like I say, they've gone from nowhere to third. Next season, they could well be in the Champions League. Mm. And is that, and it's a rhetorical question, is that going to be problems for them? Because as we found out, even being in the Europa League, you effectively need two squads. I mean, have you, I don't know if you've given any thought to that, Brett?
things. So, like, you look at Villa this season, they dropped off a bit. Were they, like, going into Europe? So it could happen to them. But then I said earlier, I think I read that Forest are the only team in the Premier League and they haven't got a single injured outfield player.
Yeah.
So
I think Forest are in for a troubled season next year, actually, because they've made the least changes to their team throughout the season so far. And, like, if they're challenging on four fronts next year, which they will be, they're definitely going to be in a European.
But the point is, if they know they're in the Champions League, they know that they can invest in a certain amount of the squad. So that's their challenge. Yeah. I mean, it's not something I can give too much headspace to, but then
there's the sides that are coming up. You're not going to have all three teams going down three times in a row. I mean, the Leeds are going to be one of the teams coming up, I'd imagine. It's just, can those sides sustain a challenge in the Premier League? And, you know, you hope so, because you want the teams to come up to actually not take our place, but no one's got a divine right to success, as I'll tell anyone on the listen.
Yeah, but Southampton are taking that to an extreme, aren't they?
are they going to get the Derby record? I think they might.
I think they might.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I mean, we're talking about derbies. Congratulations to Tony Bloom on your 100-1 winner. That was fantastic. The only horse I didn't bet on during that week. Thank you, Tony, for that. But that is all we have time for. So thank you so much to Brett Mendoza, to Jason Thackeray, to Alan Wares. I've been AD Packham, and this has been the Albion Roar on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast, and in association with Flowers Unlimited. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you at Woodside Road on Saturday. Cheers, bye.
I hear him before I go to sleep and focus on the day that's been. I realize he's there when I turn the light off and turn over. Nobody knows about my man. They think he's lost on some horizon. And suddenly I find myself listening to a man I've never known before, telling me about the sea. Took a trip on my love for him.